And this morning, you know, really, this morning, I just want to talk. I've got some notes, but I don't know where we'll go with this. But really, what God wants to say to us in this time, in this moment, as we are in a shift, a season shift, if you want to call it that, or a cycle, because God knows works in cycles. How many of you know that God works in cycles? As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And we are in a cycle shift right now, and there are things that are happening in our world in our natural world that we can see, but there are also things, I believe, taking place in the spiritual world as well. And one of the things that I believe that God wants to shift in the spiritual world, and this is for those of us who profess to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, is that God wants to move our position. Some of us have come this morning, and you might call yourself a student, you might call yourself a follower, you might, dare I say, you might even call yourself a Christian. You know, God is not interested in any of those things. Christian was a derogatory term that was used for those early believers, followers of Christ, people who identify with Christ. And some of us can get so caught up in our traditions and our religion that we just stay where we are. We think this is it, and we think we've arrived, and we don't think we need to do anything else to change. But God is shifting. God is changing his church. God is changing what he is doing. And God is looking for a people who are dedicated to himself. God is looking for a people who he is calling to himself, and a people who desire to be with him. There is a shift. It's no longer, you know, it may have been fine in the past, but now we are into something new. And God is looking for a people who will be his disciples. I'll explain that a little bit more as we go along. Go with me, if you would, into Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 21. And Father, as we consider your word this morning, we ask for revelation, we ask for understanding, and we ask for inspiration. As we read your word, let it renew our minds. As we hear your word, let it transform our lives in Jesus' name. And I say, God is looking for a shift in our spiritual position for the people that we are called. I was saying this morning to someone that I am, and I've said it to other people, I am reluctant to speak about revival. I'm reluctant to speak about revival because, listen, we do not need another revival. We don't. You see, when we talk about revival, what we are talking about is we're talking about bringing back to life something that had life and was dead, or bringing back something that was as it was before. And listen, I don't know about you, but I know that what God is saying is that what we had before no longer fits the new environment and the new cycle that he's taking us in. We do not need revival. What we need is reformation. What we need are a people who are prepared to be reformed into the likeness of Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? That's what God is looking for. He is looking for a people who are prepared to be reformed into the likeness of his son. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, revival is bad, but we have to understand what God is doing. You know, and if we're not careful, we can chase things around, but God wants to do something in each one of us. Even revival, listen, revival doesn't start out there, it starts in here. Because it's what God wants to do with each one of us as individuals. And it's whether we are prepared to allow God by his Spirit to move us and to make us uncomfortable. How many of us pray, you know, say, Lord, we want to see a move of you. We want to see a move, Lord. We want to see revival. We want to see healings. We want to see your manifest power. We want to see all of that. And yet in the private, you know, none of us, some of us are not pushing in. Some of us are not seeking God. We have a different persona in the private as we do in the public. And it's what we do in the private that influences and makes the difference in the public. You see, we have to get it right in the closet, you know, in those moments when it's just us and God. We have to cultivate our relationship with God and develop an intimate relationship with him in those quiet moments when it's just us and him before ever he will do anything in the public domain. And hear me right, I'm not saying he doesn't, because God can do whatever he wants. And God's gracious and God is merciful. But we as individuals have a responsibility to cultivate a personal and intimate relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's calling us to be with him. Let's look in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, and let's just read that as we talk this morning. And it says this. And that's speaking of Jesus, he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. Note that. Didn't call them to preach. Didn't call them to go and do great things. Didn't call them to lay hands on the sick. Didn't call them to speak a word of prophecy. He simply called them to be with him. And that's foundational, that's fundamental to us seeing a shift in our experience with God. And he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. You know, when we think of Jesus followers, we immediately think probably of the 12 disciples. Can we have the title slide up there, please? We immediately think of the 12 disciples. And although they were central to Jesus' mission, the 12 disciples were fundamental, foundational to Jesus' mission. Without the 12 disciples, we wouldn't have the church today. Although they were central to the mission of Jesus, they were not his only followers. The followers of Jesus went far beyond the 12. He had followers that were both men and women, followers outside of that circle. And today, listen, today we might call ourselves Christians. And you're thinking, well, mate, I thought I was a Christian. And yeah, we'll come to that. You know, you might call yourself Christians, followers, students. And I used to call myself a student of Jesus. But I think to call myself a student of Jesus is totally inadequate. We might even call ourselves friends of Jesus, and we are friends of Jesus. I am a friend of God, we sing over and over again. But listen, what I want to say is that God is not in this time prepared for us simply to stay as followers, students, friends, or dare I even say just Christians. God is looking for far more. God wants a much deeper relationship with his people. And God is looking for people who are Talmidim. And I'll explain what Talmidim means later on. But Talmidim fundamentally are disciples who make disciples. It's a Hebrew word. It speaks about a process of disciples who make disciples. And you see, just in that alone, it tells us that we cannot be satisfied with where we are. We cannot be satisfied with just the fact that we know of God, and some of you know of God. You don't know God, but you know of God. And we cannot be satisfied with that because God has so much more for us. God, as we've just read in that 13th chapter of Mark, or the third chapter of Mark, God, through Christ Jesus, is inviting us to be with him, to dwell, to abide, to simply be. And some of us struggle with the notion of just being. We think we have to be doing. There's a reason that God calls us human beings and not human doings. But some of us struggle with the idea of just being. The idea of just being with God, being in his presence. And that word disciple means so much more than just a follower of God. You see, you can be a follower of different things. You can be a follower of a football team, and maybe some of you do follow a particular football team. I've never really been particularly interested, and so I don't. But maybe you follow something else, maybe a basketball team, or maybe you follow a celebrity or someone on Twitter. You can be a follower of a team and yet never leave the comfort of your settee. You can be a follower and never have to do anything. You can just swipe. And God is looking for people who are more than just followers. There were plenty of followers in Jesus' time. But he's looking for those who desire to draw near to him, those who desire to be with him. To be a disciple carries with it the idea of dedication and obedience. It carries with it the idea that there is some effort and some intentionality with being a disciple of Christ. We do not become disciples of Christ by accident. It doesn't just happen to us. We become disciples of Christ by our intention to seek after him. There is a word, a much used word, but sadly not a very loved word, that is also associated with discipleship, and it's the word discipline. To be a disciple of Christ takes a measure of discipline. You know, doing those things that, you know, it may be that we don't want to do those things. We may not want to get into the Word. We may not want to sit at his feet. We may not want to pray. But there is a discipline. Listen, there is a discipline in the life of the believer that, if we pursue it, will bring us closer to God. And I'm not talking about legalism and process and so on. But when we are disciplined in our lives, for those moments when we really, really don't want to do those things, if we are disciplined enough, discipline will move and very quickly become a delight. We'll delight in the presence of God. And so we have to, you know, it's not easy being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to stick at it. It implies a discipline. Perhaps the best example of a disciple is the traditional one, where someone would attach themselves, align themselves perhaps to a master of a particular trade or skill or whatever, and they will apprentice themselves to the master. They'll seek to become an imitator of whoever that their master is. But listen, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see something that is very, very different. There was something different about the way that Jesus selected his 12. There was something different about the way that Jesus called people to himself. There was something different about the way that he called his disciples. It was different from the world. The first thing that we note when we read in this text and we see the way that Jesus calls people is that he selected them. Jesus chose his disciples. He called them. And that's unusual in in Jesus' time. Because the way that you would ordinarily get your disciples is that the disciple or someone who wanted to be a disciple of an individual, they would look around to see what the different rabbis were teaching as regarding the law. They would weigh them up and they would then think, ah, I like what this rabbi is saying. And they would, if you like, they would then present themselves and say, can I be your disciple? I like what you're teaching about the law. But Jesus was different. Jesus didn't work like that. Jesus chose his disciples. And I don't know, again, maybe some of you today in the hearing of this word are like that other group of people. Maybe the only reason you call yourself a Christian is because having considered other options, you've looked at different options, you've looked at different teachings and different ideologies and philosophies, and the only reason you are a Christian is because you just consider that Jesus is the best of a bunch. Listen, he's not just the best of a bunch. It's far more than that. Jesus made some absolute statements. He made statements that said that no one comes to the Father except through me. And therefore, we need to understand that Jesus is not the best of a bunch. Jesus is the only option to know God. He's not an option. He's not just one of a palette of philosophies that you can choose. And Jesus chooses his disciples. And he hasn't changed at all, because Jesus still chooses his disciples. He calls us. He calls us to abide with him. He calls us to be with him. You remember the story, the account where Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha was running around fussing and, you know, doing all those very sensible, practical things that needed doing. But Jesus ultimately, in the end, said, Mary has chosen the better thing. In fact, he said, she has chosen the one thing. There is only one thing that matters, friends, and it's Jesus. The only thing that matters is that we position ourselves at his feet. The only thing that matters is that we have a desire to know him. Some of those other things are good. I'm not throwing them out, but I'm saying when it comes to it, if we were to focus and to, if you like, funnel our attention, the only one that matters is Jesus and him alone. Jesus called Simon Peter, he called his brother Andrew in the middle of their work as fishermen. He did the same with James and John. He did the same with Matthew, the tax collector. He called them, he chose them. And Jesus, I want to say that God, in marking us to be his disciples, is as intentional about our lives as he was about those first 12. God has a plan and a purpose. How many times have we heard that? God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives in his intentionality, in his choosing. And it's in this time of shifting, changing goalposts, if you like, changing of understanding, changing of thinking. In this time, God is looking for a people who are prepared to be disciples. Talmidim. God is looking for a different caliber of people in this cycle. You see, ultimately, the 12 were called, and the religious leaders of the day adhered to their normal pattern, but Jesus broke out of that pattern because he said, look, Jesus said, I am not here for the law. I'm not interested, and let me phrase that correctly. Jesus wasn't about law. He said he came to do away with the law. In other words, Jesus came to do away with that attitude of mind that says, if I do this, if I live this way, if I think this way, if I act this way, then I will earn the favor of God. That's what Jesus came to do away with, to do away with that religious mentality and mindset. And he came to set us free. He said, look, if you want to know how to meet the Father, the only way to do that is by being with me. Be with me. Stay with me. Watch what I do. Learn from me. And what you see in me, that's the image, that's the model that I'm calling you to be. That's the people that I'm looking for you to be. The Jews, in their tradition, have an old proverb that says, may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. And the idea of that is that the student, the disciple, would be so close to his rabbi that as the rabbi moved, the dust that's kicked up would cover his disciples. That's the image that we should have about being close to Jesus. Jesus is not looking for remote relationships. We live in a remote world, don't we, where we have Alexa and Google and smart speakers, and we can control things remotely. We can be in one place and control something else that's happening miles away, hundreds of miles away. But Jesus is not looking for a remote people. He's not looking for a remote relationship. He's looking for an intimate relationship. He's looking for us to change our mindsets and to have an emotional a new emotional connection and bond with him that takes us into a fresh understanding. I wonder how many of us today, even now, are still in that religious mindset of thinking that just because we come to church, we're doing all right. We're not. The old analogy: just because you live in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. It certainly doesn't make you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is looking for something so much more from ourselves. And so I want to challenge us this morning. Even for those, and this is not, I hope this is not heresy, it isn't, but even for those who call yourself Christian, I want to challenge you this morning. Because you see, being Christian can be very, very comfortable. But God is calling us to be Talmidim. He's calling us to be disciples. He's calling us to be those whose only focus is Him and to be for His image to be reproduced in us. The reason I stopped calling myself a student, and you, those of you who have been here will know that for years I used to call myself a student of the Lord Jesus because I thought it explained better my position. Because many people call themselves Christian today, but, you know, Christian, as far as I understand in the world today, can mean someone who just has a notional, a nominal belief that there is a God, to someone who is full out on fire for God. And so I find the word Christian as a self-identifier to be totally inadequate. And so I call myself a student because I thought calling myself a student tells people what I'm about. It tells people that I'm looking to Jesus. It tells people that I'm learning from Him. But then I realized that even that is not enough, because God is not just looking for people who want to know about Him. Plenty of rabbis other than Jesus had students. People who just wanted to know what their rabbi knew. God doesn't want us to just know about Him. He doesn't want us to know what Jesus knows. No, what God wants from us is God wants us to be conformed, and I'll use that word again, He wants us to be reformed into the image, into the likeness of Christ Jesus, and nothing else will do. Nothing else will do except that we allow ourselves to be reformed into the likeness, the image of Jesus. It is not good enough, friends, it is not good enough, church, to think that just because you know about God, it's enough. We are in a new cycle, and what was okay before, and we may have, you know, we may have coasted, and we may have drifted, and we may have just found ourselves in a place by accident, that may have been okay before, and God's gracious, and he, you know, and he continues to work in us. But I'm telling you, we are in a new cycle where God is looking for people who are more committed to, people who are determined to be his disciple. People who disciple others. Disciples who make disciples. People who are not prepared just to stay as they are. You see, doing what Jesus did, taking the initiative and choosing to follow and calling people to follow him was rare. Again, you know, in Mark 3:13-14, we read about Jesus, and he went upon the mountain, called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out. You see, Jesus wasn't calling his disciples to study law. He wasn't calling his disciples just to know what he knew. He was calling his disciples simply to be with him. And that's different. That changes things. Because only when you are in a close, intimate relationship with an individual can you really get to know them. Only when we allow ourselves to be in the same places that Jesus is. Only when we allow ourselves to be led by Holy Spirit, only when we are willing to lay down those things and to change our thinking and change our behavior and, you know, be more disciplined, can we become the people that God wants us to be. You see, when Jesus said, "Go and make disciples," it wasn't a proposal. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Go and make disciples. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, he didn't mean go and make followers. He didn't mean go and make students. I don't even think he meant go and make Christians. He meant what he said. Go and make disciples. People who will allow themselves to be reformed into his image, into the likeness of the Son. Hallelujah. Jesus called the 12 to be with him. To be with him and nothing more. He called them to be with him. And when, after the resurrection, things changed. Because after the resurrection, the disciples realized that Jesus was calling them to be those who witness, bear witness to who Jesus is. And he still calls us, he still calls his disciples to be those witnesses to who he is. He still calls us to be a people who can say that we know Jesus, we have met him, we have encountered him. He still calls people to bear testimony to all that he said and did. You see, for Jesus to transform his followers into effective witnesses, it involves two things. It involves teaching and it involves ascending. It involves a teaching and it involves ascending. And Jesus taught his followers directly. He said, look, come, he chose his 12. He said, come, be with me, abide with me, stay with me, watch and learn. And he also taught them indirectly as well. He kept some close to himself. And no doubt in those 3 years, the disciples would have learned something. Well, we know they learned something, because as a result of the 3 years that they stayed close to Jesus, we have the modern church today. The church was birthed out of those 12, because 12 men had a desire simply to be with Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, we have lost something. Maybe we've lost that desire. Maybe we've lost that spark, that first love, just to be with Jesus. Educationalists never stop telling us that sometimes, you know, learning is better caught than taught. And so we have to be a people who position ourselves where we can see, we're sensitive to what God is doing through Holy Spirit. We see in the Gospels that Jesus sent the 12 out to be his disciples. And part of that, Jesus then bestowed his authority on them. The 12, in effect, became the authorized representatives. They stood in place of Jesus. They became his authorized representatives here on earth. And listen, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who are anointed and appointed by him, carriers of his Holy Spirit, bearers of the presence, we too are those who are authorized to carry out and work in the name of Jesus. To be a disciple, friends, to be a disciple is to be conformed to the image of Christ. You see, when people rejected Jesus, well, many people rejected Jesus, many people accepted Jesus, and it's the same for us. We're the ambassadors, if you like. We're the representative of kingdom here on earth. And when people reject us, they reject Jesus. But let me put a caveat on that. Only if we are evidencing the likeness, the image of Christ. People will reject us for other reasons, because they simply don't like us, because we're simply horrible people, we're nasty people. And that they're well within their rights to reject us. But when we display the likeness of Christ, when that is evident in our lives and it comes through, then when people reject us, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Christ. When people accept us, because they see something in us, the likeness of Christ in us, they accept Christ Jesus as well. You see, there is a depth and a breadth to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The depth lies in the fact that we are called to be those who can testify that he is risen from the dead, testify that he is who he says he is, testify to the one who has set us free and released us and changed us and made us into something new. And the breadth of the discipleship is that he calls us to be bearers, carriers of the message. Go into all the world and make disciples. And so it's not an easy thing to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you again, are you satisfied being just a friend of Jesus? We are, but he wants us to be far more than just a friend. Are you happy just being a follower of Jesus? Well, there were plenty of people that were followers, and none of them get a mention in his word. The ones who get the mention are those that were disciples. And I'm not just talking about the 12. There were other disciples that are mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures. Those who were intentional about being, allowing themselves to be transformed and conformed, reformed into the likeness of Christ. Are you happy, and I hope you're not, are you happy just to be a Christian? Because I'm not. And I hope that likewise you too have, that this morning it might stir a discontentment in each one of us, a desire to want more from our walk and our relationship with God. You see, Jesus invites us to be with him. He invites us to become Talmidim. That is, he invites us to be not just those who know about him, not just those who follow him, not just those who are students, not just those who are Christians, but he invites us to be Talmidim. He invites us to be a people who reflect and show the likeness, the image. We've become as near a representation of the likeness of Christ as we can be here on earth. And that's a challenge for us, because I still have a long way to go. And looking at some of you, I know you have a bit further. I'm joking. No. We all have a long way to go. We all have a long way to go. But are we prepared to allow God, by his Spirit, in this new season, in this new cycle, to challenge us, to move us? Are we prepared to be with him and be the Talmidim, disciples of Christ Jesus?